Rebecca Clark is our last composer to hear this evening. She was born in Harrow, near London, in 1886. She was the only woman to be accepted into the composition class of the Royal College of Music in London. Her father discontinued financing her studies after a short time and also threw her out of the house. With £12 in savings, suddenly on her own, she began a career as a professional violist. She became a very sought-after chamber musician and played with some of the leading musicians of the early 20th century, including Casals, Rubinstein, Thibaud, Heifetz, and Myra Hess. She toured the world as a viola soloist as well. In 1944, at the age of 58, Clark married James Friskin, a piano teacher at the Juilliard School of Music, who had been one of her contemporaries at the Royal College of Music. After her marriage, for no apparent reason, Clark stopped composing and performing. She settled in New York City, where she died in 1979. We now have the unique privilege and opportunity to hear part of an interview Rebecca Clark did at her home in 1976 with Robert Sherman of WQXR in New York. It is part of a tribute he did for Clark on the occasion of her 90th birthday.
Yes, I studied at the Royal College of Music with Sir Charles Stanford, who was the teacher of Vaughan Williams and Holst and Frank Bridge and all those, and my husband too, and all those fellows. And I was his only girl pupil. And it was considered something rather unusual. And when I had that one little whiff of success that I've had in my life with the Viola Sonata, the rumor went around, I hear, that I hadn't written the stuff myself, that somebody had done it for me. And I even got one or two little bits of, I don't know if I've still got them, I doubt it, little bits of press clippings saying that it was impossible, that I wouldn't have written to myself. And the funniest of all was that I had a clipping once which said that I didn't exist. There wasn't any such person as Rebecca. And there wasn't any such person as Rebecca Clark. That it was a pseudonym. Now, these people have got most beautifully mixed. It was a pseudonym for Ernest Bloch. And I thought to myself, what a funny idea. When he writes his very much lesser works, that he should take a pseudonym of a girl that anybody should consider this possible. And the joke was that this was sent to me by a friend from England, I think. I think it came out in an English paper. And I was in Singapore at the time, and I had an extreme feeling of unreality, as if I really didn't exist. I mean, being in a place like Singapore and getting a clipping to say there wasn't such a person as me was a rather strange experience.
Now, did you, when you began your composition studies,
yes,
did you have any feelings that it was an unusual thing for a woman to be doing?
I don't think I thought about it very much, one way or the other. I just wanted to do it. And, I'll tell you something that will amuse you. I played once at a recital in the old town hall, and I played two groups. And in each group, there was something that I'd written myself, because, you know, there are awfully few solos for viola. And I think I also played some duets. But anyhow, I wanted rather to play another piece I'd written. And I thought, this is too silly to put my name down. This was before the Viola Sonata affair. It seemed too silly to put my name down still once more. So I thought, I'll invent a name. So I went through the rivers of England until I thought, came across what sounded like a surname. And I took the name Trent. I knew nothing, it was from the River Trent. I knew nothing about Trent's last case in those days and all that. And I took the first name, Anthony, because I liked that name. And this is one for women's lib, because although the piece by Anthony Trent was not particularly good, it had much more attention paid to it than the pieces that I had written, I mean, in my own name. Which is rather a joke, and people would ask me about Anthony Trent, and I was rather self-conscious at having invented him, and I think I would blush. I still could blush in those days And I would blush, and I think I could see in their faces that they thought, ah, yes, there's a romance somewhere, you know.
Did Anthony Trent ever reappear?
No. I let him die an easy death after the Viola Sonata affair. Because that was really, in a way, my start. I had it made a little bit of a rustle because I was a girl at that time. And I had my picture in the Times and my picture in Vogue and all that sort of thing. I thought I was terribly important.
Now let us listen to one of Rebecca Clark's best love works, her piano trio of 1921. It is in three movements, unified by a commanding motive first heard in the piano in sevenths, which is used throughout the work.